5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
And we're back. Farrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. Hour number two. We've got a lot more NFL to do. We've got a lot of college football to get through as well. We are not, this is kind of like, you know, it's that 1 week of the season where you've got, like a football Friday on a Wednesday, you know, with the Thanksgiving holiday on Thursday. Black Friday coming up after that, and then you got the weekend. So a lot of football, Mafia, a lot to get to. We've got college hoops in the mix. San Diego State up now 25-21 on UCLA here with about 5 minutes to go in the first half. Villanova still struggling with BC. I also saw this, Mafia, UNLV getting absolutely whacked by Montana State. Like, man, UNLV in football and in basketball, They are just absolutely, you know, meaningless in both. It's amazing how they have absolutely no juice in either football or in basketball, UNLV.
It is amazing. You know, football's been like that forever. At least basketball has had their periods of being okay. I mean, I guess once the Twins left, all of a sudden they just went back to mediocrity and not mattering.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's crazy to see how the mighty have fallen, at least in basketball. They were never good in football. But in basketball in the early 90s, how the mighty have fallen for UNLV. It is cool that the football team does play in Allegiant, where the Raiders play. I've watched a couple of UNLV football games this year, amazing as that is to say. Mostly I was watching them because I was betting against them, but I did have watched a couple of UNLV football games this year and noticed that they were playing at Allegiant. So we've got a lot on the table. NFL, the rest of it, we've been through a few games, we'll do some more. All of the college football, a little bit of college hoops, Carver High and Mafia. We are in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We get our number two cooking right after this.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast,
I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty on vacation. 844-843-6879, the phone number. More NFL to do, Mafia, here. We've been through a bunch of the games. Let's try to blow through a few of the others. My Buffalo Bills off the bye. McDermott is 3-0 in that situation. They have the LA Chargers 3-7. They beat the Jets last week, coming all the way across country. Another West Coast team doing that. Getting 5.5 right now from the Bills in Orchard Park. I'm excited for this one, Mafia. I had a little week to rest after that brutal Hail Murray loss to the Cardinals in Glendale a few weeks ago. I had to sit around for 2 weeks and think about it, and here we are. I'm refreshed. I'm recharged, and I'm hoping that Josh Allen and the Bills are the same, and they start this little stretch run here. And how about this, Mafia? Get used to the Bills. After they play the Chargers this week, the next four games, all nationally televised games, a Monday nighter in San Francisco, a Sunday nighter against the Steelers, a Saturday game against Denver, and another Monday nighter against the Patriots. You're going to get a lot of Buffalo Bill football in primetime, Mafia. Get ready.
Damn, look at you guys getting that attention that you've been seeking for 20 years. Nice to get a little love here. I mean, they're good for them. They deserve it. They're one of the top teams in the AFC for sure. They're probably, you know, that second tier after Kansas City and Pittsburgh right now. They had their struggles for a little bit there, but have got it going again. It was a tough loss against Arizona, but they played well offensively and got that kicked back into gear after it was slowed down for a while. But I think this is a game where they'll look good. They'll play well. Obviously, the Chargers' defense isn't that great when they're letting the Jets cover, 10-point spread. I mean, it's going to be tough, though, to completely slow down your boy Herbert. It doesn't matter where he has hair, no hair, or whatever. The kid is slinging the ball all over the field. So I'm definitely taking the Bills to win this game. But I think that Herbert and the Chargers can come in and possibly cover this. And, it might be another situation where they have a late lead and blow it.
No, you're absolutely right. I hope not. I'm hoping that the Bills come out and really take care of business here. I think that Allen will have a big day. Did you know, Mafia, that the Bills have the most wins in the NFL against teams with a winning record? Did you know that? The Bills with four.
I did not.
The Bills with four most wins in the NFL against teams with a winning record. They have beaten, of course, Miami, the Raiders, the Rams, and the Seattle Seahawks this year. The Bills with the most wins against teams with a winning record. I like throwing a stat. I saw that today. I said, how about that? Bills leading the charge at something. Your Jets at home getting 6.5 points against the Miami Dolphins. Tua time did not get his defensive and special teams touchdowns last week. It's going to be hard to live off of those every week. Low total here as well, 44.5. Can the Jets hang around? They say Darnold practiced a little bit today. Will Darnold be in the mix? If he does, he'll finally get to have Crowder, Mims, and Perryman out there for the first time. We've seen Flacco kind of run the offense a little better with everybody there. Do you give the Jets any shot to maybe get off the schneid here and get their first win of the year, Mafia?
No, of course not. And I don't want them to. I want them to lose every game. I don't want to lose every game. We go 1-15. As long as Jacksonville wins the second game, I'll go 1-15 so we don't get the winless season completely. But we want that first pick. That's what's important right now for them because they're obviously going nowhere this year. I want them to tank as much as possible to not only get the first pick, but hopefully get rid of Gase and bring in someone. Maybe get Bienemy in there. Maybe we'll finally be the smart ones to hire him. But right now, I just think that they're playing better. They're playing okay. Their defense has let them down, though. That was the one that was a strong suit for much of the season, but now they're getting scored on by everybody. The big problem for the offense is that their offensive line is terrible. Besides Becton, they're a terrible offensive line. He's been banged up all year, so it doesn't matter which quarterback's in there. I think that Miami's defensive line is going to start getting going again. You know, they're going to do much the same of what they did to the Rams a couple weeks ago at home. And they're going to beat up the Jets, and they're going to be in the backfield and taking down their quarterback, and they're going to win in cover. Tua's not going to need to put up many points because the defense is probably going to get touched on themselves at least.
Yeah, you know, if the Dolphins and this is a new territory for them, you know, 2 weeks in a row being a road favorite, they didn't get it done in Denver last week. As much as I think people have maybe put the Dolphins out a little further than they should so far, I don't think they're quite at the level of some of these other teams in the AFC. I think that they can get this done because the Jets are so bad. Like you say, Jets are so bad that the Dolphins should be able to cover under a touchdown. But it is kind of a weird number. The Dolphins absolutely flogged them down in Miami a month ago. I mean, really beat them up. And it's only 6.5. Kind of strange to me. The other New York team is on the road. That is the Giants. Another road favorite. 5.5. At Cincinnati, who no Joe Burrow, as we know. They're not even going to start Finley. Who are they starting, Mafia? Jeez, I don't even know who they're starting in this game. That's how bad it is for the Cincinnati Bengals. What's the name of the kid that they're throwing in there? The Finley was so bad. I think it's Allen, right? Isn't the kid Allen that was with the Broncos last year? I think that he's the third
Brandon
guy.
Allen.
Brandon Allen, who I saw... starter. Who did start 2 or 3 games for the Broncos a year ago. He stinks too. Like, that is just an awful spot for him. And the Giants have to get this game because their schedule really gets kind of monstrous after they play this Bengal game. So big one for the Giants, but it is a lot of points for them. They're lucky that they're playing Brandon Allen, Mafia.
Yeah, isn't it funny that not only are they laying that much, but, you know, this is, again, a situation where we're talking about the Giants who've been absolutely terrible all season. We're saying they need this one because they're still in the race. Like, really? Are we really talking about the 2-win Giants still being in the race right now on November 25th? That is ridiculous about how bad that division is, but they're still there. They're still alive. I know they have a little inner turmoil coming off the bye week, firing the offensive line coach in a weird situation there. But they're starting to play okay. They're starting to play decent all around, even, you know, despite missing some of their better players throughout the season. So I think that they're going to win this game, and they're going to win it easily. You know, the Bengals were a bad team. The only reason they were still in games was Joe Burrow and what he was making happen with some of these guys. You still don't have Mixon back. You're still going with Gio Bernard at running back, who's solid, but not going to blow you away like Mixon can do. He's not going to make, you know, a 5-yard gain into a 25-yard gain with a couple moves here. He's more of the straight-ahead pound-through-you back. So I'm going to go with the Giants winning this game and covering and winning by a touchdown.
I think this is the kind of spot, like, if you like to play teasers, I think you could put the Giants in a teaser here. Yeah.
Great,
you know,
teaser spot.
Get them down to where they just need to win the game. I don't know if I want to trust the Giants, even against an awful team and an awful quarterback. I don't know if I want to trust them as a road favorite. So if you're putting your teasers together for Sunday, maybe you want to consider getting the Giants
involved. Play that prop?
What is it? They don't have them up yet because it's still Wednesday. Okay. They only had Thursday's games in. But his rushing prop has been as high now ever since the first game against Philly where he tripped on the 80-yard run. You know, they started moving his rushing prop into the mid to high 30s, and it started to trickle back down into the high 20s. So really, Daniel Jones now, it's like between 25 and 32 is where they've kind of settled his rushing prop number each week. And he still gets close to it or goes over it almost every week. So Daniel Jones is a good one to play that rushing prop on FanDuel, that's for sure. Titans and Colts played a couple weeks ago on a Thursday night. And the Colts ended up being at game time, like a 1.5-point road favorite in Nashville. And they beat them up. So now the game's in Indy and the line's -3. So, I mean, for me, Mafia, it's like Tennessee off a big win last week. Are they going to lose twice to the Colts? Colts off a big win as well against the Packers. Strange game for me, but I do kind of lean Titans just because I don't think that they'll beat them twice this year.
You know what? I'm kind of leaning the other way, and that's surprising because I've kind of been like a Colts non-believer for much of the season, and I still don't think Phillip Rivers is good this year. I still think that they're kind of just getting by on, you know, with the bare bones with their defense playing great and the offense doing just enough. Because, you know, like we said, the defense of Green Bay should have won that game last week if Rivers doesn't get that phantom, you know, incomplete. And then the defense comes up with the big play to save them with the MVS fumble to set up the field goal. But I think that the defense, again, is going to step up big here, and they're going to load up against Derrick Henry. They're not going to stop him completely because no one can, but I think they're going to do enough to keep them in this game and kind of force it on Tannehill, and they're going to make, you know, pick off a mistake or two of his, and Indy's going to squeak away with the win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be another really close, tight game, that's for sure. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty Farrell on the bench. 844-843-6879. San Diego State up 4 now on UCLA towards the end of the first half. We'll keep it rolling. More NFL, more college. Burrell on the Bench rolls on right after this.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Farrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. They've gone to the half out in San Diego, a six-point lead for the Aztecs over UCLA. I, of course, am laying the 2.5 with the Bruins, so we're going to be looking for a big second half out of them. Boston College leads Villanova with about 11 minutes to go in the second half, 58-54. So the number three Wildcats in a little bit of trouble here on opening night and early season college basketball. And you get the Wildcats now. This is what I was talking about earlier, Mafia. -1.5. You can get the Wildcats now to storm ahead in the final 10 minutes. That's what you wait for on the in-game line there with Villanova. Man, if we weren't doing this right now, I would try to jump in, but is what it is. Let's go to the phones now, Mafia. Our man Kevin in Chicago joins us now on the bench. Kevin, good evening. A happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for taking my call. I just got a quick question for you. AFC and the NFC, who are two teams that people don't want to play, that don't want to line up across, there may be a tough matchup, maybe they're dangerous come playoff times, they don't have the best record? For me, it's the Las Vegas Raiders in the AFC, and the NFC, it's the Los Angeles Rams. I think those are two dangerous teams that people don't want to see. What's your thoughts? Thanks, Taylor.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin, for the call. You're right. In terms of dark horse teams, we'll take out the teams that are obviously the heavy favorites. So in the AFC, Mafia will eliminate the Chiefs and the Steelers. We'll take them out. Those will be the two teams in the AFC we leave on the side. And in the NFC, let's leave out the Saints. And everybody's so bunched together. Like, how do you leave anybody else? I mean, I guess Seattle and Green Bay, because of how much they're in the betting market perceived as favorites. So how about we take those three out in the NFC, Mafia, and we will take the Chiefs and the Steelers out in the AFC. Give me one for each while I try to think of one.
Well, the NFC is obviously the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, wait, it's one that no one wants to see, not the one that everybody wants to play. Yeah. In that case, you know what? I would have to say, I mean, if you're going to go just by rankings and where they are sitting right now, I think that it would be, you know, Maybe Arizona, because they're good on both sides of the ball. You know, as long as Kyler Murray stays healthy and the shoulder doesn't become an issue that lingers the rest of the season, you know, I think they're a very dangerous team. They're a team that can score with anybody. And then that defense, you know, it bends, it gives up points, but it doesn't break. You know, there's times that they will step up and make a big play with some of those guys there, you know, even despite Jones not being there for the season after his injury. And also, I'm going to throw in there, you know, this Seattle. And that's another defense is basically Swiss cheese at this point. But, you know, it's been very few games with Adams, you know, and Dunlop in there together. Maybe, you know, as they go on the rest of the season, those guys can start to click and get this pass rush going and make them more dangerous. And even if they don't, just how dynamic Metcalf and Wilson have become together, and you throw Lockett in there, when you forget about him, all of a sudden he's in the end zone. Just how easily it is for them to score this year, it makes them dangerous to anybody. It's very similar to, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers just about every year. Is that, you know, they're not going to beat you in a, you know, 17-14 game. It's going to be a shootout, but it's, can you keep up? You know, it's a sprint to the finish for them, and can you run with them the whole way, or are you going to gas out in the third, fourth quarter?
Yeah, I think for the NFC, I'm going to agree with Kevin. I think it's the Rams. And the reason why I think it's the Rams is, and they they're close. They're the 2 seed right now. But a lot of people still aren't.
Dark was 2 seed.
Yeah, but they're a 2 seed because that's why it's hard in the NFC to call anybody a dark horse, because 6 of the 7 teams that are going to make the playoffs are going to be so close together. You know, Saints, Seahawks, Rams, Packers, Bucks. You know, they're all going to be right in that mix. So, and the Cardinals. You know what? The Cardinals, I guess, are the team that would be like the outlier there. I can't put the Cardinals with those other 5 teams. So, like, right now in the NFC, it's those 5 teams, all kind of close, with the Saints maybe just a little bit ahead of them. And then the Cardinals are in, like, the next tier. And then you've got the NFC least, which will be in the tier after that. But I'm going to say Rams because of this. Their defense is really good. And McVay already showed 2 years ago that he can build a good enough game plan, and I say this all the time when we talk about the Rams, to keep Goff from making dumb mistakes, even though he still makes them from time to time. He can get to a Super Bowl with Goff. He's already proven it. They needed some help from the Zebras down in New Orleans that day, but they can get to a Super Bowl with Goff at quarterback. So I think the Rams are interesting to look at in the NFC, and I like his Raider pick for the AFC. They would be dangerous, but I don't think they're quite there yet. I think in the non Pittsburgh, Kansas City division, Mafia, and this is not me being a homer whatsoever. I think that depending on what kind of Josh Allen you can get and what kind of Bills defense you can get, I do think they could be scary for teams, because Allen has showed games this year. Look at the Seattle game. Look at the Ram game. Look at these games where he absolutely shreds teams. The Dolphin game as well. Does he have his moments? Of course he does. Does he have to wash away the stain of that playoff game in Houston last year with the 16-0 lead? He sure does. But I think that it's scary to face him because it is so unpredictable and anything can happen. And their D over the last 2 or 3 games has started to show a little bit of the form of last year, where they're creating turnovers, they're getting some guys healthy. So I know it's hard, you know, for me when I've got the big, you know, red, white, and blue flag behind me here, but I think that they do have to be considered somewhat of a dark horse in the AFC.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And, you know, again, as Ken was bringing up, the Raiders, they're a tough team. They have shown that they can play with the best teams, but they have to show that in the playoffs. We haven't seen that from Carter in the playoffs to go with him, you know. The Colts have a great defense, but I'm not trusting Phillip Rivers when it comes to crunch time. And, you know,
definitely not
with how bad he's been over the years. Cleveland, again, you know, they have a great running game, and they have Myles Garrett bearing down you at all times. But Mayfield and then, you know, all that team has not proved that they can do anything. So when you look at teams that really are the ones that are scariest and matter, your Bills, obviously, like you said, are definitely up there, you know, as the probable champion of the AFC East. Because also, what, you know, you didn't even bring in what you got to factor in and what we've talked about year after year for teams like Kansas City, Pittsburgh, but especially, you know, in the AFC East, New England, is when you get to the playoffs, it ain't nice. It's cold. Snowy. And there's going to be no place more cold and snowy than Buffalo. And they'll be used to that, and you be won't. You know, they'll be out there in short sleeves, and you'll be wearing parkas on the sidelines. So that's going to factor in as well to help them out in that scenario. And you know what? I got to give love to the Titans too. You know, we saw what they did in the playoffs last year. I don't know if you still call them a dark horse, but you know, by their ranking right now as 15, you know, it doesn't matter if you know that they're just going to run Derrick Henry down your throat all day. You still can't stop it. You know, look at the last two overtimes they've gone to. You don't think Houston and you know, and their game last week, that they know that, hey, it's Derrick Henry time, and what happens? He still runs through you anyway. So you know, a solid defense and an incredible running game makes them always dangerous.
No question about that. I'm with you there, and I just wish the Mafia was going to be able to be there for that Bills home game. If they do finish this off, this AFC East, and they have an early January home game, those people have been waiting 20 years for it, 25 years for it, really. And it is going to kind of stink that the Bills Mafia is not going to be able to be in the Ralph for that game. We'll blow through these last couple NFL, so that way, Mafia, the last big segment, we can try to get through as much college as we can. Are we both in agreement on the Saints in Denver? The line's gone up to 6.5. I do think that they should be able to find a way to win this game by a touchdown or more, right?
Nope. I'm taking the points.
Oh, wow.
I think Denver's going to cover
points.
That. Everyone's going to be in love with Hill. I'm betting him after last week. Now you got to go up to Denver. You got to go up to Mile High. You got to go this, you know, the thin air with this guy running the ball too many times. I think Denver's defense is going to do a better job against him. And you know what? There's even a chance Locke can steal that.
Wow. How about that? There you go. Mafia laying it down. The Broncos against the Saints in the late game on Sunday. Rams have gone down. It was 7 most of the week, Mafia. Now 6.5 at home against the 49ers. I like the Rams.
Yeah, Rams by slaughter.
Rams by a slaughter for Mafia. Big game. The Chiefs, road favorite in Tampa, -3.5. We've talked all week long, really all week, 3 days, about how the Bucs played on Monday night, losing at home to the Rams. Chiefs, best team in the NFL as far as I am concerned. What do you think about Mahomes and Brady at 4:25 Eastern on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm surprised this spread is that low right now after what Tampa's put out the last, you know, few times that we've seen them in a big game. I know this isn't prime time. This isn't 8 o'clock, so it's not after Tom Brady's bedtime. But still, he doesn't look good. Their defense, you know, is getting lit up by the likes of the Rams, who have, you know, decent offense, but they're no Chiefs. And the Chiefs are going to make the pressure on them the whole game. They're going to score a bunch of points. They're going to make Tom throw deep, and it's not going to go well.
I kind of like the Bucs with the points. If this thing stays over a field goal, I think the Bucs, they're so Jekyll and Hyde. I think that they're going to hang around. And I don't think that the Chiefs defensive line, they've got a couple of injuries, is as good as some of the ones that have concerned me that the Bucs have played this year. And finally, Bears-Packers, which, you know, I can't stand when they put these Bear-Packer games in primetime. I'm so sick of it. The oldest rivalry, you know, the Monsters of the Midway and Lambeau Field enough. I don't care. The game stinks every single year. Even a bad Packer defense is going to be able to take care of this Bear offense on Sunday night, Mafia.
Yeah, their defense is going to do good against the Bears offense and Foles, but you know, I think that the Bears defense is solid enough to cause problems for the Packers. I think it's going to be a lot closer than this spread gives us. 8.5 is not something I feel comfortable with. You know, if you tease it down, maybe I can get involved, but 8.5, I'm going to roll with the Bears to cover.
Yeah, it could be a good teaser spot. I guess there's still a chance that the great Tyler Bray might play quarterback for the Bears, and I guess that would make a little bit of a difference as well in that game. Seattle and Philadelphia are playing on Monday night. I believe you have one more night of me and Mafia that night. Scotty comes back on Tuesday, so me and Mafia will be doing the bench during the Hawks and the Eagles on Monday. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. We keep rolling. We get into some college football next. Keep rolling after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. I am eagerly awaiting the second half start between UCLA and the San Diego State Aztecs. As with the Bruins down 6 and we have them -2.5 here, we are looking for them to have a big comeback, Mafia, in the second half. So we'll keep our eyes on that. What's going on with Nova? Are they still in trouble? They are up 1. With about 4 minutes left to go. So Nova will most likely win that game. Listen, it's a one-point game. I'm saying it because they're Nova. They should win the game. We'll see how it goes. College football, Mafia. We've done so much NFL tonight. We do have to get a few of these college games in. We have games Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We were supposed to have two games tomorrow. Unfortunately, the Colorado State Air Force game is done. You get New Mexico and Utah State. I mentioned this to Keith on the TV show today. New Mexico hasn't won a game in forever, like a game straight up. They have not won in forever. And they're a 6.5-point favorite at Utah State. I just can't believe it. I know I'm going to be locked into it now that there's no night football. I'm doing the back end of in-game live with Kevin Walsh on Sports Grid on the TV side from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern. So I will be locked into the second half of New Mexico and Utah State. I'm sure you will be as well, Mafia.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, why wouldn't I be? That's the greatest matchup I've ever heard of on Thanksgiving Thursday. You know, usually when we're watching Texas Tech and some of these other great rivalries, why not instead watch New Mexico and Utah State?
Remember they used to have, like, the Egg Bowl? Yeah. Like Ole Miss and Mississippi State used to play, Texas TCU. Mm-hmm. They used to have some of these good rivalry games on Thanksgiving night. And I guess the NFL, the last 10 years or so, has really taken over that Thursday night situation, especially obviously on Thanksgiving. So there's not as good a game now. So there are some good games on Friday. First one for you, Texas and Iowa State. Iowa State, one of the teams that we kind of yelled about last night with two losses. They really shouldn't be where they are in the college football playoff. They still have an opportunity to win the Big 12, to get into the title game. They are at Austin. It's -0.5 for the Longhorns. And I like Texas, Mafia. I think they beat Iowa State. And we could put an end to the Cyclones and any talk of them being involved in anything.
Nuh-uh. You better sound that alarm. You better let the town know the Cyclones are coming through Texas in this game. I think that they are the better team. They get the tougher defense. I think Texas, again, is one of these teams that for all of us, every year, we go by the name. And it's Texas. They have great football history, great football program, and then they flop. Every year, we act like this team is back, and they flop over and over again. It doesn't matter who the coach has been. They have not been the same since they played Bush, Leinart, and USC in, 2003? So Don't act like this is a game where they're just going to – they're home. They're going to get it done. I don't even think they should be favored, even if it is a half a point, even if it is a basic pick 'em. I think Iowa State's the better team, and this is the classic Texas game where they're going to be in everyone's viewer, and they're going to be like, all right, yeah, they're going to get this done, and they're going to let down against, a lesser program, but who is so far this year a better team in Iowa State.
The biggest game on Friday is definitely at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, and that is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish at Chapel Hill against the Tar Heels of North Carolina. It's all in front for the Irish now, Mafia. They know the deal. First football ranking playoff comes out there at number 2. They win their games. They're going to be in a good spot that even if they lose a close game to Clemson, maybe that'll still be enough for them to get in the playoff. But this is the biggest hurdle that they have left in the three games, a visit to North Carolina, who can score points. Howell is very good. Me and you are down on Carolina. We know that in that big spot where they were undefeated and ranked in the top 10, they laid an egg at Florida State. They played awful in the one game against Virginia. They are not beating up Duke here or having a wild shootout with Wake Forest. This is Notre Dame, and I think the Irish do find a way to get it done, Moff.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that they win. I think they cover. I think that, while this should not be a case like they had against Florida State and against Virginia, where UNC kind of comes out slow, maybe not taking this opponent not as serious as they should. I think, obviously, they know Notre Dame's good. Obviously, this is kind of a, not a rivalry game, but it's a puff-your-chest-out kind of game for them if they get this win and, dash Notre Dame's hopes of a title chance. And, we saw a couple weeks ago where they came out against a rivalry in Duke and just smoked them and they played like they should have been playing all season. So I don't think that they're going to come out and kind of, take them too lightly and get behind big like we saw against Florida State and Virginia. But with that being said, I think obviously Notre Dame's defense is much better than those teams and much better than a lot of the teams they've played in the ACC. So I think they will struggle as far as getting going. I don't think they're going to come out lackadaisical, but I think they still will have their problems getting going early on. And Notre Dame's going to build up a lead. And sure, we've seen Howell slinging around the field and come back in some games. I don't think they're going to do that against a better opponent in Notre Dame. I just think Notre Dame wins this by a touchdown.
Oregon and Oregon State, they're not allowed to call it the Civil War anymore, Mafia, apparently. That's very taboo. It's like how Florida and Georgia aren't allowed to call it the world's largest cocktail party anymore. They do
no
not
more
call
Red River Shootout.
Yes, they don't. All these names of these rivalry games are gone now. But in Corvallis, the Ducks and the Beavers splashing around, -13.5 for the Ducks, who have not looked good. I mean, let's be fair. Needed a strong second half 2 weeks ago to beat Washington State. They struggled with UCLA at home last week. Now, Oregon State, not a lot of firepower. Great job by them last week against Cal. 13.5 in a rivalry game is a lot, but you got to think that Oregon is going to be a little upset when they saw that 15 next to their name in those rankings the other night.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, that's just the way it is right now, because not only are you in the Pac-12, which constantly gets disrespected, but you're also in a Pac-12 season where you start later than everybody else. And, you know, that's just going to be the cost of business right now. And that's what happens. So they're going to have to deal with it. Maybe they take it out to Oregon State. I think, you know, like you said, rivalry games are usually tighter. But I just don't think Oregon State has been a good program for, you know, a while now. And Oregon is the better team, the better talent. They, you know, put up a lot, almost 150 more yards a game. Their defense is terrible, but their defense has always been weak and letting up a lot of points. I think they are still a better team and can win this by 2 touchdowns. I mean, they're basically winning most of their games so far by 12 points, 12, 13 points. I think they can win by 14 over Oregon State.
I think that Ohio State, who's at Illinois this week, they're laying 28.5. I think that Ohio State comes out after, you know, a lackluster second half against Indiana allowed them to get back in the game. They only win by a touchdown. You have to feel that Ryan Day drilled it home this week. We need to clean this up. We need to go out and play like Ohio State. And Illinois, not good. I don't care that they beat Nebraska last week. They stink too. I expect a big effort. I never like laying 28-plus points, Mafia, and this is one spot where I don't mind doing it. I think Ohio State absolutely paces the Fighting Illini on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's a lot to be laying. That's something that usually makes me cringe, you know, not necessarily in Ohio State games usually, because they're doing that to everyone in the Big Ten, you know, for the most part, where they just smoke you and the game's easy. And it's, you know, by the third, fourth quarter, you're changing it to something else. But I like what you said. You're not only, you know, the letting of Indiana back into that game late and making it more of a game than a lot of people thought it should be, but Justin Fields looked mediocre. And this is a kid who everyone was propping up for the Heisman, propping up as the second best quarterback in the draft. I think he's going to be fired up for this game. I think he's going to come out and want to put up 5 touchdowns, whether, you know, 3 through the air, 2 through the ground. He's coming out to put up points, to get his stock back up, to get people thinking about him and talking about him again, because he had an okay at best performance last week, and they're going to roll through Illinois.
I think a similar situation with Clemson against Pittsburgh. You know, they're at home. They're laying 23.5. And they, you know, Trevor Lawrence hasn't played in basically a month. Clemson hasn't played in 2-3 weeks since the Notre Dame game because they had a bye. Then they had another bye because they didn't play the Florida State game. So really 3 weeks since they've played that game and lost. I think that Dabo fired up this week. You were all over him. I think they come out and they put the beating on the Pitt Panthers, who have been in some of these games, and they played really well against Virginia Tech last week at home. They've played Clemson okay the last few years, even the mighty, with how good Clemson has been. But this is a bad spot that the Pitt Panthers are walking into in Death Valley on Saturday.
You know what it is, and they're going to lose the game, but I don't think they're going to get covered on. I think this is a situation, you know, it might be close. I could see Clemson maybe winning by 17-21. You know, they might win by 3 touchdowns. I don't know if they're going to cover that 24 because, you know, we've seen time and time again that Dabo plays it nice late in the game. And I know he's fired up and mad at FSU. He's not mad at Pitt, though. And Pitt's a tough team defensively. They don't give it up a lot. They only give up 22 points a game, you know, which it seems like a lot saying that. But no, considering what, you know, these other teams are going to give up to Clemson, I think they're a tougher team than people give them credit for. And they're going to lose, and they're going to lose big, but I don't know if it's going to be by 1-24.
I think a big day for Lawrence. He sees his name slip down in this Heisman and a couple of big performances because, you know, Trask is in the lead right now, but a couple big performances, and Lawrence might be able to get himself back in the mix. Iron Bowl on Saturday, 24.5 is the spread. Of course, no Nick Saban on the sideline for Alabama as he's got his second positive COVID test in the last, what, 5-6 weeks, Mafia? This one is going to stick. He's got some symptoms, so he's not going to be coaching them on the sideline. 24.5, this is tough. Like, Alabama has really been housing teams. Like, what they do every week, they have been demolishing, and I don't think this is a very good Auburn team this year. They're not good offensively, not as good on defense as they usually are. I think that I might lay to 24.5 with the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I think I might as well, which seems, you know, like a lot in a game like this, which is a rivalry. And Auburn's record is pretty good at 5-2. And, you know, they've had some good performance against teams. They smoked LSU. You know, they beat up on Tennessee. But against, you know, some of these better teams, I think that's where they're going to really struggle. And Alabama, like you said, is an incredible team. They have so much talent every year, year in and out. I know that Saban's not going to be there, but, you know, Sark's been there for a couple of years. He knows how to run that team, and the offense is going to be the thing that drives this for them. Usually it's their defense, but that's the thing that's solid, that's easy, that you know is going to show up. It's about what the offense has done in previous years that has, you know, kind of made things closer than they should be at times. Not anymore. Mac Jones and this team is going to light it up, and they are going to school Auburn.
Texas A&M, of course, number 5 in that poll. So they're going to be sitting around. They need to keep winning their games. They have no chance to get in the SEC title game because they've lost to Alabama already, but they need to keep taking care of business. LSU stinks this year. 14.5. Do the Aggies handle prosperity well here and continue to show the committee they deserve to be number 5 and put a good beating on LSU?
Yeah, I think they do. I think LSU is just having a terrible season, you know, and might be a little bit deserved for the way Ogeron was talking about stuff with COVID earlier before the season started, about how it's, you know, basically thinking it was no big deal and his players were going to do it. And basically wasn't he the one that basically saying like, hey, we're just going to try to get them sick now so they're good for the season. Yeah. Like, I think that he's made himself look pretty bad this year after coming off an incredible year where everybody loved him and he got the national title. It's not his fault that they're as terrible as they are because, you know, when you lose that many team players to the NFL and high draft picks to the NFL, you know, not many programs can come back from that. Sure, Alabama can. Certain ones can because they just get reloaded right away. LSU isn't that program right now. They were back in the day. They're building towards that again, but they aren't that right now. So they're just having a terrible season, and A&M should put the beating on them.
The bailout blowout mafia. I always love it. The Pac-12 after dark, 10:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff. Utah and Washington, the game was thrown together at the last minute when both of these teams' original games got canceled because of COVID. The game is up in Seattle, -7.5 for the Huskies. A low Pac-12 after dark total of 48.5. We are going up, 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 and over, 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 Mafia, for Pac-12 after dark.
You know what? I'm not going to. You know, I'm going to say this game is probably a closer game.
No.
I mean, there's no scouting time, no practicing for the other team. I think this is going to be a sloppy, ugly game in the beginning, and we're going to get an under and a tight game.
Up and over. It's Pac-12 after dark. We're playing crazy games, and we're going over. We're getting it all back in one swing. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879 as we wrap it up here in hour number two. San Diego State getting it done against UCLA right now. They have a 10-point lead in this game. Still a lot of time to go. About 15 minutes left to play in the second half. But the Aztecs are getting it done against the 22nd-ranked Bruins. 11-point lead, 43-32. Villanova did survive. They won by 5 against Boston College. So Villanova struggles, but they do get it done. Mafia, here we go. Turkey Day tomorrow. We've got lots of football. We've talked about it the whole show. I know that you've got big plans. You're going to be running around tomorrow, and then you even have to take an even bigger trip over the weekend.
Yeah, going to go from we're at my parents now. We'll do with them and my grandmother. Then we'll go back out to Jersey to her parents, to all of us, to the 6 of us have been tested. So, you know, everyone's being safe and isolating from the rest of the family pretty much. And then going down the weekend and trying to fit in a show and a trip down to North Carolina to go get a dog from my sister and her rescue friends. A puppy
nice.
Into the family now.
Wow.
You know, they've been pushing us for it already at the wedding. So we're like, all right, we'll get a dog to, you know, calm you down.
Wow. Getting involved with the dog. Wow. That's big. That's a lot of work, dude. That's a lot of work getting involved with the dog. That's tough. You hear Scotty all the time talking about Boston and all that. But have a outstanding time. Have a safe trip. Been a lot of fun. We've got a couple days off here with the radio show, and we'll be back, Mafia, of course, on Monday night. One more before Scotty comes back. So I will see you then.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it. Have a great weekend. We'll hang out, watch a little football, and we'll get into the Monday night game on Monday.
Yes, Seahawks and Eagles for us Monday night on the bench. So Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. Great night. Enjoy all the football. Everybody have a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. We'll see you Monday on the bench. Have a good night, everybody.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.